You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 59. We're going to take a break from the series we've been doing on Christian ethics and discuss another topic associated to a Christian's engagement in art. Art and culture, these kind of things are, you know, something that obviously permeates our culture. And from a Christian perspective, we really want to take some time to really talk about what does that look like in, you know, its various forms and how does that play out. So to do this, we have a guest with us today. His name is Jacob Hess. Jacob is a former student of Western Seminary. He got his Master's of Divinity there. Before that, he went to Seattle Pacific to the seminary there for a while and currently works as the associate pastor at Parkwood Baptist Church. We're excited to have him here. He is somebody I know Jason and I have both had classes with. He's the current author of a book called Echoes of Beauty, which is really tackling this topic in a cool and unique way. So, Jacob, we want to welcome you here. Thanks for being a part of our podcast. And introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners since you're brand new here, and then really begin this topic once you've done that.
Yeah, so like you said, I am working at a church out here in North Carolina, but I was born and raised in Oregon, so I'm a West Coast guy. And I'm working as the worship associate there, doing music and leading worship, and it's been a fun time of learning Southern culture and growing in ministry as I do that. But I've always had a passion and a love for story. And I think story is just a beautiful way to express truth and to tell truth in a way that captivates and transforms our imaginations. And you see that a lot in the Gospels, for example, where Jesus uses parables to preach the truth to the crowds that were coming. And what they did was, it's like Timothy Keller says, the parables are like this hard candy that you have to really suck on and meditate on until you get to the sweetness inside. And so I think stories have been something that have captivated us as humanity from the beginning of time, really. And what God does is he uses these stories that he's put within us to point us back to himself and what it means, what basically the beauty of the gospel, really, and what it means to know him and to love him and to follow him. So that's kind of my passion when it comes to the arts. I'm not like a great painter or anything like that, but I want to tell stories that are fun and exciting, but also point to the deeper truth of who God is and who he's made us to be.
And that's cool, I think, for a lot of different reasons. The main one being that I feel like a lot of us, me specifically, and I'm sure many others as well, you know, when we come to the Word of God, when we come to the biblical text, we come to more learn and grow in more of a mechanical way. I come to the text, I want to know, what is the author saying? What is he saying about what he's saying? And how do I conform my life to it? But I don't feel like I often engaged with sort of more the delight until really at Western, one of the books they had us read in one of the classes was the book Delighting in the Trinity by Michael Reeves. That book for me was really the first time I'd ever thought about the idea of being able to just enjoy, like not just reading to learn, not just, you know, but actually seeing the gospel as a delightful story at the same time. So I guess really maybe the first question shooting towards, I guess, here is how do you come at that approach to the Bible to really see the beauty instead of just the mechanical, I want to learn, I want to grow, but I also want to enjoy as well?
Yeah. Well, scripture is the majority actually narrative. And so it's really laid out for us. As you read from, you know, Genesis to Revelation, it's the story of God with his people, bringing them to redemption. And it's focused on him as the main character. and we get to just walk beside these different characters like David and his son Solomon, you know, and as they kind of learn what it means to follow God and be obedient and fail in the midst of that. And also, scripture is God's word to us. It's not, yes, we learn a lot of truth through that, and there's doctrine involved in that. It's also coming to know who the author is. When we delight in God through scripture, it's when we just come to know him more and rejoice in who scripture reveals him to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this just from a pastor's perspective, I think I've never had somebody come up and say, yeah, I really love point number two. What you said there was great. But I have had people come up and say, you know, that story or that illustration, I really connected with that. So what you're talking about is something I've definitely seen, like, stories have a way of engaging us in ways that just bare statements of theology just don't. And I think that's a human aspect. It's not just right brain. We have this dichotomy. We like right brain or left brain people, but I think it is a human aspect. And your book, maybe just tell us what was one of the things you wanted to have the church, so Christians, get out of that book.
I was really putting forth my own perspective on Christian aesthetics, which is like a philosophy of beauty. And I guess I wanted to basically, it's not that I'm like the person who knows so much about this. I just kind of wanted to open up a conversation about what does it mean to be an artist who's Christian? And what does it mean to be a Christian who engages in art and consumes art with the gospel in view? And what does it mean to be a Christian who also can live a beautiful life in a way that points back to the grace that we've been given? But yeah, because I think in a lot of ways, our culture has moved away from logical argumentation and a focus on rational truth and has rejected that, which is not a good thing. But there's a lot of decisions are based upon emotion and saying like, oh, I don't feel like that's true, so it's not true. And so what the church has to do in apologetics is they have to realize this and see how important it is to tell the truth beautifully through the arts and also beautifully through a life of moral uprightness and goodness that says something different than just living just however you want to, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So let's talk about this concept of beauty. Maybe a way to frame this is you talk about in your book how this idea of objective beauty, is there such a thing as objective beauty? And you compare the kindergartner with the macaroni portrait, self-portrait, to a Van Gogh painting, and how intuitively, and I think you're hitting on something right there, it's an intuition we all have. We recognize when something is truly a good piece of art and something is not, or not yet, that has potential maybe.
Right.
But maybe talk a little bit about that. How can you determine if something is objectively beautiful?
Yeah. So Colin Wood, he's this art philosopher basically, and he talks about how aesthetics or art is really the act of speaking, and it's really a conversation that the artist invites the audience into. I mean, and some art is just done because the artist feels like it, but a lot of times that doesn't really connect always with the audience. And so he talks a lot about how art is really a conversation. And so these artists who have these works of art that really attract a lot of people is art that speaks to a lot of people. And that the audience can really enter into the creative world of the artist. Tolkien talks a lot about that, how there's these deep longings within each one of us as humans. And the artist, what they do is they connect with these deep longings in a way that fosters a conversation that leads to transformation. And so as a Christian artist, we have this great ability to connect to the deep longings of something beyond death, you know, this of a love that transforms us from these people that we know that we are, but into the people that we really want to be. And so as an artist, Christians have a lot of ways that they can really connect to the gospel, connect the gospel to an audience, and speak through their art.
So maybe you could talk a little bit about this, because if we are honest, then very often when you say Christian music or Christian films, it has a somewhat negative reputation as far as quality.
Right.
Obviously, the message being there is beautiful, but talk a little bit about why that is, and maybe why did that end up happening? Because there's a long history with Christianity and the arts that's very healthy and good, and then maybe what can be done about it?
Yeah, I think in a lot, like you said, in history, in the past, art in the Christian faith have really been combined, conjoined. The best artists were Christian. You know, these giant cathedrals were made not just to say, look how great we are, but look how great God is. And so even architecture was a way of worship. But I think just with changes in society, you know, moving away from a Christian culture less and less art is Christian. And the art that is Christian is directed mostly to Christians. And so, it can come across kind of preachy, just focused on, you know, like preaching the truth, which is not bad, but doing it in such a way that it neglects the characters, neglects the quality just to get the message across. And I think that it does a detriment to the art itself. I mean, Demetrius Rogers, he talks about how Christians should tell the truth slant. And by that, he means tell the gospel, but do it in a way that gradually dazzles. Kind of like C.S. Lewis or Tolkien does in their fiction books. Like, Tolkien was a Christian, and he made this whole world that you can enter into and really just live in, because it's filled with so many great characters, and it has this great story of triumph and sacrifice. But underneath all that is this truth, you know, the gospel of how God triumphs over evil, even at the last moment when we think all is lost. And that's really the truth, that Christ is going to return and he's going to set all things right. And so there's this deep gospel truth to that story, but it connects to so many people because it doesn't just say it outright.
There could be a case made as well for that just inherent need of the soul. And I'm thinking too, for some people, that need is probably greater than it is for other people. And so it's, you could say, a imperative for discipleship in a sense, to, you know, reach out to people that maybe are more of that right brain. They're the more creative people. They're the more artistic people. They're the people that, you know, don't necessarily engage in sort of that traditional left brain way, which I think most Christians sort of operate in. At least most of our Christian outreach is sort of built around, you know, reaching out to that common denominator. So maybe there's a degree to which we could say we're actually doing a disservice to the whole people that need to hear the gospel, that need to be engaged, if we're only engaging them in a way that works well for me or works well for other more left-brain people.
Yeah, I think you're right. There are those creative types or those people who are naturally prone to be drawn to things of beauty. But I think it also does a disservice to not just these different types of people, but the whole person. Because we aren't just walking brains. You know, we are embodied people, and God came to redeem all of who we are. And so the arts and the stories and beauty, it points to the greatness and beauty of God's creation and how he longs to redeem that. And so stories and art and paintings and music can be a great way to show both the goodness of God and the beauty of his creation, and also his desire to redeem it, I think.
Why do you think it is that that stigma is here? I mean, if Christianity and the arts have had such a strong relationship in the past, why do you think that today is different?
I mean, yeah, again, I'm not like a historian. I mean, I wish I knew more about this subject, but I think in a lot of ways there's that culture, those culture wars in American culture, at least, have kind of placed this dichotomy between sacred and secular, and arts and things like that have fallen often in the secular zone. And then the sacred zone is things like, you know, reading your Bible, praying, you know, the preaching of God's word and all those things, which is so important. And then music snuck in somehow into kind of the okay thing to do, but make sure it's Christian music, right? But I think the Christians in some circles have lost the importance of beauty and how that really is both an affirming of who God has made us to be and who God calls us to be as whole persons.
I don't know the history of this either, but I would be willing to guess that it has something to do with postmodernism, the introduction of postmodernism, at least culturally here in the United States, happened around 1920, around that time, 1919, 1920, when American soldiers were coming back from World War One, where they had been, you know, in France for the last 4 years, and they brought back this idea of postmodernism with them. And that's really when it started to become a cultural movement here in this country. And I think that's also where the church started to move away from art and that. And then I think that chasm was only further encouraged by the split between the Pentecostal and non-Pentecostal like parts of the church. You know, we saw that split happen. And the result was it left at least 50% of the church really void of any of that kind of encouragement, you know. And then it all just became the preached word, the understanding, the learning, growing, memorizing, applying on one side. And then on the other side, I feel like not all, I'm not saying all Pentecostals, but certainly there are pockets of Pentecostals where they've completely, in my mind, lost the gospel altogether. Because they've been so focused on, you know, the feeling, the expression, the art. And while we do want to enjoy, we do want to enjoy, right, and engage and see the beauty, we're also still recognizing this is God's word. We still are to learn and grow. And
yeah, it's not just beauty or art or expression for the sake of itself. Because that can become an idol. This beauty and this expression of in art needs to point beyond itself back to the source of all beauty, which is God Himself. And I think in the church, some people are threatened by the imagination because the imagination seems scary. Like it's harder to control, right? To put borders around. We can have our doctrinal truth, right? And that can be easier to control. But then we have the imagination, which in some circles has been seen as a bad thing, like that it's trying to get outside of the truth, which imagination redeemed, restored, should be something that brings joy and excitement and beauty to our doctrines, to the truth that we know.
There is a little bit of a dichotomy to some degree, because I think we all sort of do a little bit understand the beauty. I mean, think of like when you're out hiking or something, right, you're out in creation, you know, you think of like Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord and the earth proclaims his goodness. And day after day and night after night, it pours forth speech. Yet there are no words, their voice is not heard, but their message goes out to the world. You can see that, you know, when I'm out hiking, drawn into the worship of God and his glory and majesty. But then I come home and I'm like, well, I don't want to read to delight. I don't want to read to enjoy. Like I want to learn and grow. And how do you encourage people to bring that together?
Yeah, I mean, I think you go back to scripture. Like it's filled with artistry. I mean, David was a songwriter. And the Psalms themselves can be a lesson in what it means to enjoy God through beauty. Because like you said, that there's so many Psalms about creation and God's beauty in creation, and also just expression. These Psalms, there's Psalms of a lament and sorrow and joy. And these are people who are using, they used instruments to play these, and they sung these. And so scripture itself it shows us what it means to enjoy God and to glorify God through the arts. And you have stuff in Paul's epistles, like Colossians 3, that talks about, you know, letting the gospel dwell in you richly through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so scripture itself tells us what it means to appreciate beauty and to glorify God through beauty.
I think this is good, Jacob. I think you're highlighting probably a blind spot that's really common in evangelical churches, maybe in America more than other places. I don't know. One question I had was, how can Christian churches help their members have more opportunities for engaging in the arts if that's their calling?
So, like, you're talking about Christian artists in churches?
Yeah.
I think in a lot of ways, I mean, churches, there are, so there, it can be either one of two things. Either a church looks for artists among them and kind of overuses them, like puts them up in the front, just only talks to them when they need something, like make this graphic design for me, or like lead this worship song for me, or they're kind of neglected and ignored altogether. And I think there's a happy middle where we see our Christian artists as just fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, who need to learn discipleship just like each one of us. And part of their discipleship is using their artistry in a way that glorifies God and points to the gospel. And then there can be ways that you can use the gifts of artists within the church and within ministry, like through music or through painting or through graphic design. But I think it can be dangerous if a church just uses artists instead of develops and loves and cares for artists, if that makes sense. So if a church is on the other side of things where they don't seem to have artists, or there isn't a place for artists, they can really foster that. I mean, through preaching. And preaching can be a great thing of beauty. If we use stories and things to connect with scripture to our context that we're in, or, just like, I thought it would always be cool to have like a small group that studied movies and how the gospel is spoken through movies. Just finding a way for our community of faith to engage in the arts that are going on around us and entering into a conversation that's already happening, and redeem those opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure fully aware of this, but I think one of the things that I see is the tendency for Christians to almost play copycat. And they see something great done in the culture. Mm-hmm. And so what you're saying is we want to redeem art in a lot of ways, but how do we avoid just doing the copycat thing? Because that's what I see a lot.
Yeah. And to a certain extent, all of art is copying. You know, it's, we don't have these amazing ideas that we come up out of nowhere. And I think it's just allowing the message of the gospel to really penetrate all of what we do. And I think where artists can get tripped up sometimes is they're like, okay, I'm going to make sure to get this message right. Well, if we just tell our stories and tell them good, called to do and do it well, we can let the gospel shine through just who God has made us to be and through what he's given us to share. And so I think the copycat issue, I agree. I think that the problem that comes in is they're trying to copy what the culture is doing and just slapping on the gospel to it, if that makes sense. And so I think it's just let's tell our own story. Let's tell our own stories. Let's be our own artists and do it just with the gospel, just inspiring what we do.
That's a good point as well, because you do see a lot of Christian music. I've noticed this a lot with Christian music, where it's unclear to me who the object of worship is. Like, I always think of it as these artists that they could be singing about Jesus, or they could be singing about their boyfriend. We literally don't know, you know, where it's so ambiguous. It's like, who is it? And even more so, you see this song played on Christian radio, and then you also see this song played on secular radio. And it's like, I 100% believe, you know, we should be engaging culture in unique ways to get the gospel out. And so it's like, I think there's totally a place for that. But you look at these art forms where this really doesn't glorify God in the end. You're kind of like, well, what good is that?
Well, I think what you're saying, there's a difference between art or like songs, for example, that you were talking about. There's a difference between songs that are made for the church to sing and songs that are written by Christians speak about these deep things, but to a wider audience. So songs that are written for the church should explicitly preach the gospel, because we come together to worship, to be formed by God's word. And so we are formed by God's word through the preaching of his word and through the singing of his word. But Christian artists who are writing music that engage those outside of the church, they're doing a different thing in my mind. They're not writing music for Christians to sing along to on the Christian radio. They're writing music about how God is working in their life and through their life, but they're doing it in a way that, that non-believers can identify with. And that really speaks to the, like I was saying earlier, those deep longings within all of us to be known, to be loved, with a love that overcomes all of our offenses. So it, it's different. It's a different thing in my opinion.
But how do you balance that in terms of actual gospel impact? And you know, and maybe I'm getting off track. Maybe that's not the point at all. But it kind of seems to me like sort of associates with, you know, the Christians that say, oh, we just live out a Christian life. You know, we love people and care for people and serve people. And while I'm 100% in favor of that, and certainly believe we are, you know, gospel bound to do just that, at some point we have to use words to present the gospel. You know, it's like if we're loving people in the name of Christ, but without ever mentioning him, have we really loved people? You know, that concept, I guess.
Yeah, you always have to present the gospel and do it clearly. I think what we're seeing more and more in our culture today is that beauty and goodness, just like a good life, are things that captivate people and are things that really make people ask, oh, what is going on about this people or this person? But we do have to add a gospel message, like spoken, speak the truth, or they're not going to know why our life is good or what is beautiful about our art. But like I said, the art is a conversation starter. It's asking its audience to come and inviting them into a conversation that hopefully leads to a transformative experience. And that it doesn't just stop with the art though. Good art is more than just watching a movie. It's having the message of that movie, or the message of that painting, or the message of that music really soak down deep into you until you find what's behind it.
One question I had was, there's this word you use in your book, probably most of our listeners would not be familiar with it, but eucatastrophe. And you talk about how you can showcase the gospel with this concept, and maybe explain a little bit about that, because I heard that word once before, and it's in Keller's book, but talk about what that is and why it's important for sharing the gospel.
Yeah, so Timothy Keller, he got that from Tolkien. He had wrote this book on fairy stories, which is kind of his discussion on fairy stories and how they can connect to the Christian faith, basically, and how they're important for us. These fantasy stories, and so what he's meaning by eucatastrophe is the opposite of a catastrophe. It's this sudden and unforeseen turn of events, this surprising joy, basically, where everything seems to be going wrong and suddenly it turns and it comes out right. It's the great cosmic joke, like the surprise happy ending, if you will. And as Christians, we have this, we know that this ending is true for us, that no matter how bad the world gets, Christ is going to come back and he is going to set things right. And as Sam says in the Lord of the Rings, all sad things will come untrue. And we can tell this good story through our art by having these moments of great catastrophe turn out for the good. And so that's kind of what I want to do in my stories and what Christians can do in all the art that they tell, or whatever medium that they use, it's a story that they can tell.
That's a good segue to, you have a book coming out here soon that you've written. Why don't you share with our audience about that and where they can find out more information or purchase a copy?
Yeah, so it's a sci-fi adventure book based around this character named Jeremiah. It's in a fantasy world unlike our own. Kind of like Lord of the Rings. It's basically like Star Wars meets Lord of the Rings. And so this character named Jeremiah receives this family heirloom that after his father passes away, and actually holds the secrets to destroying this evil shadow race that's trying to consume the universe. And so through Jeremiah's journey, the reader, I hope, can kind of see this new catastrophe at play. how these great disastrous events can lead to this wonderful, glorious beauty. So, and the book is called The Bright Abyss, and it comes out hopefully this September. It's in the last stage of the edits, and they can find out more information about it at my website, jacobehess.com. And you can also sign up to get a copy of my Echoes of Beauty, a free copy of my Echoes of Beauty, my ebook Echoes of Beauty, on the website as well, if you're interested in that.
Well, thank you for taking the time to come and talk about this topic with us. I feel it's really helpful. I think Jason and I tend to be more on the left brain side of life, and our podcast sort of represents that. So it's always good to get these other perspectives and certainly engage a topic like this, which is really important. We have a creative, beautiful, wonderful, majestic God who we were created in his image and created for the purpose of enjoying and delighting in all of his goodness. And that means all of the beauty as well. And so we definitely want to take the opportunity to encourage our hearts to continue on seeking to find the beauty of God in his creation. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.